So if there was an era of the Star Wars expanded universe that you could live in and be in, what era you think would be the coolest that you'd like to be a part of?
It would have to be the prequel era, where, you know, Jedis weren't being hunted left and right.
And things are all colorful and pretty. And
yes.
Padme.
And Padme.
And yeah, I have to go with that, because, yeah, like, from then on, it was just pretty much war, battle, and chaos.
See,
and
I like that. I would like to live in the original trilogy era and be like Han, be a smuggler, kind of an old cowboy western type.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that'd be cool to be living on the edge and, you know. Dude. And
just, no, I'm all good with living in the palace.
In the palace?
Yeah, I'm good with the palace.
He just wants to be fluffed and prepped all day.
Yeah, that didn't sound right, but it works.
This is a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, where we will fluff and prep you. It's that time for a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeWithJedi.com. We are back. This is your host, Mark.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
And Frank T. Biscuit.
Biscuit.
Biscuit with a dramatic intro.
With gravy.
And so we're continuing our road to The Force Awakens. It's late November here, as we're about 4.5 weeks away from Star Wars The Force Awakens hits theaters, and by the time it arrives, y'all might be sick of hearing us talking about Star Wars, but it's the biggest thing in the world right now.
It's 4 weeks and yes, sick of us.
You know, but we're leading to a conclusion. We're leading to the film coming out, and we're going to talk about the movie, and then after that, you'll get our amazing, incredible 5th Annual 2015 Jedi Awards, where we're going to do a live podcast where we present the awards to you who wins on the show, so you'll have to listen to the show to find out who wins, because I'm not going to put them on the website until about 4 or 5 days later after the show airs. So this is all leading to a grand season finale conclusion for 2015. So it's worth it. And as we get closer to Star Wars coming out, we're going to continue a couple more episodes. We're going to talk about our favorite characters, and we're going to rank the films. But today, we're going to branch out into the expanded universe of Star Wars, which is massive to an extent, but then not so massive, because in 2013, a couple years ago, I think it was, Disney came along and Lucasfilm and wiped out all the canon that came before Disney bought Star Wars and created a new canon. And we'll explain all that in a minute. So the expanded universe actually dates back, and we're just going to jump right into it, to 1978, when they released Splinter of a Mind's Eye, written by Alan Dean Foster. A lot of people will consider it was the first Star Wars expanded universe book, because it was a sequel to Star Wars, and it took place where Luke and Leia hadn't quite fully joined the Rebellion yet, even though they met up with the Rebellion at the end of Star Wars. The book was kind of weird because it has them seeking out Rebellion leaders to join the Rebellion.
Yeah.
And it was written as a pseudo-sequel to Star Wars if Star Wars wasn't successful. It was going to be done as a low-budget follow-up, because back then in the 70s, remember, it was still very popular to do low-budget sequels to sci-fi movies that weren't huge hits. You know, a lot of films did that back then, and they would just air them on television or whatever. And Star Wars was no different. If it wasn't a hit, 20th Century Fox was going to make The Splinter of a Mind's Eye as a movie, as a low-budget sequel, and put
it
out
in
B cinema theaters, yeah, and stuff, you know. But obviously, Star Wars was a huge hit. And the expanding universe in the 80s continued from them into the comic books. And Marvel had a series of books and everything that ran all the way till 1986 that took place after the movie. It eventually adapted Empire Strikes Back in that series, and also a series of newspaper strips that ran in your Sunday newspaper. And that was the early expanding universe. But the expanding universe more people were familiar with, and even we are more familiar with, is the stuff that started in the 90s.
Yes. In 96.
Before that even. Oh. 1991 was the first Timothy Zahn novel, the very extremely popular to this day, Heir to the Empire trilogy, which introduced Admiral Thrawn and Jedi, was Jorah Siboth, or however he said his name.
Yeah. What's funny is I used to drive a lot for the company I used to work for. So I found tapes of that storyline.
Yeah,
so,
and it was Heir to the Empire, The Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command was the trilogy.
And they were pretty good. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were very popular. A lot of people, it started rumors in the 90s about, oh, is there more Star Wars movies coming? People wanted those to be filmed into sequels.
I would have been happy with animated.
Dark Horse adapted comics into them. And it started this whole new wave of Star Wars merchandising that started with books and comics. And around the same time that year was when Dark Horse released Dark Empire as their first book. And from there, we got that was essentially created the expanded universe that we know of today. And we could do a show on every book that came out, but it would take 7 hours to do because there's so many novels and comics that are released
on those. So much to talk about.
I remember going around like hunting for toys and actually seeing some figures from that sign because the general with the little creature on it that's kind of described like a sloth type character. Yeah.
And then Luke with the armored guard uniform.
Yes, yeah. Hasbro got into it and put out Expanding Universe figures. I probably have them in my collection. And they did various figures of those characters. They did some Dark Empire characters with the Clone Emperor and Luke. And those books today are still two of the most popular storylines in the Star Wars universe.
Absolutely.
For Expanding Universe people. And I think it's because they started it all. And then, honestly, they're two of the best storylines. You know, after that, the stories kind of went in different directions. There were all kinds of different novels written by
X-Wing
different characters.
Stories, TIE stories.
Lando, Leia, Han, they all had books and stories and novels that all tied in. And they all created this huge canon of a universe that was in different eras. You had the pre-Rebellion era, books that took place before Star Wars and after Episode 3. You had books that took place in between movies. You had books that took place after movies. You had the New Jedi Order, which was 20 years after Return of the Jedi, where Luke was starting a new Jedi Order. And it got pretty crazy. I mean, there was a new Star Wars book, it seemed like, every month. Dark Horse was producing numerous comic books and stuff. Mm-hmm. They did their own Clone Wars comic book that was separate from the television series. And that had one of my favorite characters in it, which we'll talk about some of our favorite Expanded Universe characters here in a bit, and I'll tell you who that was. And it just went on and on and on. And my personal favorite is still the Dark Empire trilogy, which was Dark Empire II, and Empire's End. It was a little three-part series of comics. The first two series ran 6 issues each. Empire's End only ran a couple of issues. It was like a sort of like a prologue to finish it out. And in that storyline, Luke teeters with the dark side, and the Emperor has come back as a clone, and Leia has fully embraced her Force powers and has to save Luke in the trilogy. And it was really well written. It was done with a painted art style in a way by I'm not going to say the artist's name because I don't want to get it wrong. And it started the whole Dark Horse craze, and that was one of my favorite stories that I've read. And Matt, I know you've read a few things back in the day. What was one of your favorite comics or books that you read?
Well, I read around here and there, but my favorite was Shadows of the Empire, the Dark Empire series, Luke turning to the dark side, and then, you know, turning back, and then, you know, of course, after that, he creates the Jedi Order, because he becomes the first Jedi to go dark and then turn back, and that makes him a master Jedi in the series, and he tries to restart the Council. It was a really cool story. I mean, because it's always cool to see... I thought it was cool to see Luke fall to the dark side, and then... Of course, you know, in Episode 5, there is another. Well, Leia is that other, and then she develops as a Jedi and brings her brother back. I thought it was awesome. And, of course, the toys helped, too. I was a kid when that came out, so that's probably another reason why I kind of latched onto that storyline. Same for, and then, of course, in, you know, 96, you know, Shadows of the Empire.
And we're going to talk about Shadows of the Empire more in depth here in a little bit on this show. Frank, I know you're not as familiar as with the comics and books because it was a time you were a working man at that time in the 90s and a lot of that stuff was hitting. I know you don't work now, but you were working and doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I know you know some of the characters and I know you played some of the games. And do you have a favorite Expanded Universe character?
Actually, it kind of goes back to the general. I just thought it was pretty smart to mask, you know, the basically put off the Force by using this character. And I would like to actually, this creature, I would like to see this creature more in movies and stuff, like, you know, people.
Well, I vaguely remember in the book, Because I've read the trilogy. It's been a long time since I've read them.
So actually, my favorite character is actually the sloth.
Well, I remember thing. Like Luke going to that planet with those creatures, and like, and his force doesn't want to work because they, you know, hold them off. I remember that in the book for some reason.
They're like the anti-force creature.
Oh, that's crazy.
And Admiral Thrawn was kind of a mix of Grand Moff Tarkin and almost a Darth Vader type, just a really evil guy who just want to destroy the rebellion.
Because he's like, you know, he's had a whole fleet at his. And they were kind of like off while all the battle was going on, and then they find out that the Emperor's dead and Darth Vader's dead, so he's like, I guess I'm the next in line, so let's do this, you know?
Well, my favorite character came actually from the Clone War comic books that Dark Horse put out, and it was a completely different entity than the television Clone Wars, but yet it's still strangely all tied together at the time, because it was considered canon before Disney threw it out. And his name was Sharad Hutt, I said it wrong. And he was a Jedi Knight who lived during the decades of peace after Naboo, okay, after the invasion of Naboo, and before the Clone Wars began. And he actually was known through the Jedi Order, and he didn't like his fame because it became so popular, and he actually leaves and goes to Tatooine and joins a group of Tusken Raiders and becomes like this Tusken Raider Jedi leader.
That's awesome.
And stuff. And he was my favorite character. I always thought it was really cool. And remember when we played Star Wars Galaxies, Matt?
Yeah.
That's why I like to dress my Jedi as a Tusken Raider, because I always thought it was cool from the comic book.
That's why.
And, that explained it.
And eventually he gets called back in the Jedi Order by Ki-Adi-Mundi in the Clone Wars because they need him to fight. And he ends up eventually getting killed by Ara Sing, the bounty hunter. And stuff in the comics. But he was my favorite character. I thought he was really cool. I was like, man, Tusken Raider Jedi, that's awesome. You know, and he led this group of Tusken Raiders and he tried to help out the, it was the Republic at the time. It wasn't the Rebellion. And that was one of my favorite characters. And I was also a big fan of, I thought, for bad guys and with Frank, I thought Admiral Thrawn was really cool. And those are a couple of my favorite characters. And in the expanded universe of books. And so this was all pre-19 or 2012. And these went on for 15, almost 20 years. We had these comics and books that were put out as expanded universe, numerous video games, which the last episode we did, we talked about all the Star Wars video games. Some of those were considered canon at the time. And Shadows of the Empire, The Force Unleashed, even the Battlefront games had a place in the canon of the Star Wars universe, because Lucasfilm had mapped out an entire map of where all these things took place, from the Rebel Assault games to Dark Forces, and it was pretty amazing what they did. Apparently, there was a master list somewhere in the Lucas archives where they had to tell where this all fit in, and you can find this stuff online nowadays, too. It's all out there. You can go look up the old canon
Isn't
and
it compare Wikipedia? To
the
new
canon. Wikipedia's got it all, you know, which is the Star Wars wiki that's out there, and just the massive amount of stuff they did. And we're going to talk fully here in a little while about Shadows of the Empire and The Force Unleashed. And I know we're probably going to have the same answers to this, but there was a lot of rumors going around back then. Was Lucas going to make movies out of any of this stuff? It's funny because these rumors even continue today with The Force Awakens coming out about is J.J. Abrams using any of this stuff. But I don't think he is, because we threw the can out. Because you got to remember, Han and Leia had twins in these books, the Solo twins. And then they had other children. And there's always rumors like, is Kylo Ren or Rey or any of these people related to Luke or Han? And there's all kinds of speculation out there. And some of it is probably true, but I have a feeling none of it's related to the books. If Rey turns out to be a Skywalker in the movie, then she's a Skywalker, but not because of the novels or anything that came pre-2013.
Well, there's one character I hope they don't throw out, would be Dash. I hope they actually embrace him, keep him. And it would be also cool to like kind of see him pop up in a movie.
Like an older Dash Render.
I mean, come on. He has one of the second coolest ships next to
the Falcon.
To the Falcon. Yeah. I mean.
And his storyline makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's.
And it fits into the new stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
And so if. What I was getting at, and it's okay, Frank, talk about it, because we'll talk about Shadows more and we'll get more into Dash Rendar, was. If there was a movie you could have seen made out of the expanded universe, what would you like to have seen?
Dark Empire, Resurrection of the Emperor, Luke turning dark, and Mark Hamill wanted that.
Yeah, well, my thing is that though, my whole thing, I've always bugged me about the story. This is my one thing I didn't like about Dark Empire, is that Luke teetering with the dark side is one thing, because he doesn't have the guidance of Obi-Wan or Yoda anymore. But for him to fully turn dark always bothered me, because doesn't it ruin Return of the Jedi and the idea of redemption and saving his father? And him,
if he was going
to turn dark, if he was going to turn, he would have turned when the Emperor tried to turn him. And that's the one, right. My one beef with Dark Empire that always bugged me a little bit, because it defeats the purpose of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
It's one thing for him to teeter with the dark side, but for him to ever fully turn dark, it would have just ruined Return of the Jedi.
Because it was like, what would be the whole point of Return of the Jedi? It was like, he returned, and now he's gone. Bye. Yeah.
And, you know, there's rumors that Luke is evil in The Force Awakens. I honestly don't think it is.
Because I already know a few people that will already say they'll walk out of the theater and not see the rest of them.
Comments that J.J. Abrams has made where he smirks and says, oh, you'll be surprised when you found out the real reason. And when he's and even though J.J. likes to play secrets, there's also some truth to that. And the truth is, Luke's not going to be bad in this film. You know, I just don't see it happening. Because, again, what would be the point in it? Why would he go bad 30 years later? If he was going to go bad, and that's the opposite side of that. If he was going to go to bad, it would have been right after Return of the Jedi, which Dark Empire is like 3 or 4 years after the film when he's still learning and still young. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't see him doing that years later, you know?
I see a nephew turning to the dark side, and he's referring to his grandfather of when you hear the voice, I'll finish what you started. I probably heard stories from Luke and everything, and all that, why he was being taught and turned to the dark side. And I think we probably don't see Luke because he's probably off hunting them down.
We can speculate on Force Awakens a lot. Did you have something you would have liked to see made into a film? It can even be. I know the last episode.
It might be. Honestly, there's like a couple. There's a storyline with Lando in the expanded universe, but also would have just liked to see. Of course, it would have had to be a whole bunch of different actors, because it was. But the backstory of Han Solo, back when he
we may be getting that,
right? But I'm saying we're getting that now, but it's not going to be the same story. This story was like the reason why he learned Wookiee, how he got.
So you're talking about, which I actually had in my notes, was these going back to 1978, the Splinter of a Mind's Eye book. They also had a Han Solo trilogy books that were written.
Oh, I love it.
And a Lando trilogy back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I mean,
those are really I've read some of those. Are really well written books.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it explains how he met Chewbacca. He was actually raised by a Wookiee, and that's how he learned how to talk it. He saved Chewbacca from the Empire because he was wanting to be an Empire pilot. A pilot for the Empire, and actually wind up getting kicked out because he stood up for Chewbacca because he was raised by a Wookiee. And then it explains how he won the Millennium Falcon from Lando and everything.
It was in a bet,
wasn't it? So, I mean, but he goes into depth on all of that.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be cool too. My easy answer would be to give the same answer that I did for the video games in the Sea of Shadows of the Empire movie, but. I honestly, my real answer is, in the expanded universe, as much as I love the Clone Wars on television, I wanted to see a Clone Wars movie. I wanted to see the war on film. You know, and if I had to pick one expanded universe film, that would have been what I would have chosen. And with that, I think we're going to move into the new canon for a moment before we talk about Shadows of the Empire and the Force Unleashed projects. And the new canon was created in 2013 when they basically bought Lucasfilm and announced that Episode 7 was coming out and the spinoff films and everything. And they said, you know what? Excuse me. None of the books and comics that came out before exist. Bam, it's all gone. We're going to create new books and comics. Marvel got the license back to the comic books, obviously being bought by Disney. Del Rey, who still had the book rights, but yet they're going to do brand new books. And the only canon they were keeping pre-Disney was the Star Wars The Clone Wars cartoon, which I'm glad, because it was excellent. That was probably the best thing to come out of the prequels. Mm-hmm. And then they created a new cartoon, which is Star Wars Rebels, which we've talked about.
Which we all love.
Several times in the show, and we love. The new season is just as good as last season. It's been fantastic so far. And they've created a new canon, and they've done some new books. They've done a book called Tarkin, which talks about Grand Moff Tarkin when he was coming up in the ranks to be Darth Vader's right-hand man. They've got a book called Heir to the Jedi, where it's basically told from Luke's perspective as he learns the ways of the Jedi after Return of the Jedi. And then now they've got some new books that are leading into The Force Awakens. They've got Aftermath, which just hit the shelves, which I'm not sure what it's about, but I know it's a... And then they it leads into The Force Awakens, and they've got Shattered Empire from Marvel, which is a comic book series that takes place after Return of the Jedi that shows that the Empire basically didn't die with the Death Star and the Emperor, that it's still out there, and it's talking about leading into Force Awakens also. And my thoughts on this at first, I was like, well, why wipe everything out? Because as we just finished talking about, we had some favorite stories and favorite characters. But maybe there's a reason that they wanted to fine-tune it as they move into these new set of films. And Disney's, I mean, let's face it, we know we're getting 6 movies over the next 6 years. But in all honesty, we're probably going to get a lot more Star Wars films. A lot. There's talks of a Netflix Star Wars television series. You know, there's talks of more cartoons. So we're probably getting more for years. So maybe they just want to focus it all and better focus. Maybe the since 1991 into 2015, you know, almost 20 years, you had so much expanded universe, they just couldn't keep track of it anymore. And so I'm okay with a new canon now, because you realize that you can still enjoy those stories that you read before, or you played before, or you whatever. And but yet you have a focus now. And really, you don't have to sit and read it all. You don't have to watch it all, but you can, you know, and it's just for people that want it if it's out there.
Well, and if you have any of this stuff or find any of it, hold on to it, because you'll never get it again. Yeah. It's gone. There will be no more reprints or reissues, none of it.
And I like the fact that they've really embraced Star Wars Rebels. I know there's already a Kanan novel out there. There's going to be an Ezra novel. There's going to be a Rebels novel coming out that's going to expand one of the episodes and show how they joined the Rebellion more and all that. So And Rebels is so well done that I'm glad that they've embraced as part of the canon and telling these early stories of before Episode 4. And I know you guys love Rebels too.
I was about to say, you know, Rebels, it's so, you know, you see this a lot whenever you were a kid and reading books in school where they take a young person and they bring them through the ranks, you know, for whatever reason, whatever story, and using him, it tells a story of everything else that happened. And I see them doing that with Ezra and Rebels.
You
and
know, I'm bad at remembering names. Their pilot.
Hera?
Yeah. I liked it in the episode in which they did the background story of how the B-Wing came to be. She kind of almost told a little bit of her story. I kind of like them to expand maybe that a little bit more.
Well, and that was one I mentioned that to somebody at work, that it was nice to see them do a Hera story. It's like it's always Kanan, Ezra, and Zeb getting into trouble. And this year they did an episode with Hera, and it was nice to see that. And they gave Chopper a little bit more to do, too. And actually, he's starting to become one of the coolest droids. Like, he's almost right there with R2.
Yeah, he is, man.
And
quirky.
I have to say that's like actually kind of been my favorite episode, next to when they ran into Vader.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing's going to beat that scene with Vader lifting up and
yeah, the premiere from this year.
Yeah, right? There's nothing going to beat that. But actually, that because it, like I said, it shows the beginning of the B-Wing. It, you know, that's now part of the, you know, fleet, and some of her story. So I thought that was pretty cool compared to like some of the other episodes.
Yeah,
obviously Vader's my first favorite episode. And but second, it would have to be when they're fighting the Inquisitor in the cave, and Ezra, you know, kind of channels his dark side powers, and just, you know, those huge bat creatures just start coming after the Inquisitor.
But when that AT-ST fell onto Vader and he just like lifts it up, and that, I just want that still frame as a picture on my wall. You know, just that.
If I had a favorite Rebels episode so far, I still go back to the very season premiere. When even though you knew that Kanan was a Jedi from watching the previews, mm-hmm. just that moment when he goes, well, they're all about to find out my secret, and he jumps up on the thing and ignites his lightsaber, it's just like, it's a Star Wars moment, you know, and I still love that moment in that first episode.
Whenever the battalion freaks out, they're like, it's a Jedi!
It was just, that was awesome.
So my question is that just standard issue gear for Inquisitors, is the spinning, double-bladed...
You have to have a bad guy with a signature lightsaber.
But it seems like they all had it. It's the standard issue.
The Dooku, the Grievous, the, you know.
Yeah, but look, all the Inquisitors have like the standard spinner double plated thing.
Yeah, I'm with Matt. I guess they just feel in Star Wars the bad guys have to be a little bit different.
I think, you know, Vader's is the only one that's, you know, just elegant.
But even back then it was different because it was red.
Yeah.
You know, and Luke's was blue, and you knew red was a symbol of evil. You know, and the spinny light. Frank's just jealous. He has, his lightsaber doesn't spin.
Not anymore. It used to.
I troll it. I troll it a lot.
And to conclude this talk about the expanded universe, you know, now we're getting more films. Episode 7 here in a few weeks, and Episode 8 in 2017, and Episode 9, and we're getting the spinoff films. The first being will be out of, can you believe this? We're fixing a new Star Wars movie in 4 months, or 4 weeks, and a year from now we're getting another Star Wars movie. We're getting Rogue One, a Star Wars story, which will be telling the story of how they stole the Death Star plans. And then, as we were talking earlier, Frank's excited for the Han Solo film and hopes he gets to see some of the stuff about how Han got the Falcon and met Chewie and all that. Obviously, he'll probably do a little different than the 1970s novel, but I'm excited for the Han Solo film, too. He's always been one of my favorite characters, and you'll see where I rank him here when we do our character ranking show in a couple weeks. And this opens up possibilities for Disney is what else they can do with these expanded films. You know, there's been talks of a Boba Fett film or Boba Fett appearing in the Han Solo film. You know, there's all kinds of things you could do. You could do like a gangster style film with the Hutts, you know, and the bounty hunters. You know, that would be a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know, we could see a film that focuses more on the rebellion and how they form it and stuff that takes kind of place in between 4 and 5 even. How did they get to Hoth, you know? I mean, how did that happen?
I think it's so funny with a Boba Fett film, because if you think about it, this guy had like one line. And he just kind of stood there the rest of the movie, and he's like easily top five popular characters.
You know what's funny is,
you know what would be good?
Like, I always think Boba Fett's a little overrated, but he's cool.
Yeah, he is cool.
One title, Path to the Dark Side, in which you kind of follow somebody that's force sensitive and why they become the dark side. I mean, we could have Darth Vader, but that went so quick over the
expansion. There's a lot that you do. I mean,
where it would be more focused on that person turning to the dark side, you know, seeking out, you know, the darkness and stuff, compared to like choosing the light.
It's going to be interesting to see what Disney does with these films over the next several years in the Star Wars expanded universe. And I don't know, it's funny, it's almost funny calling it expanded universe now, because it's still canon. And
yeah, it is.
And the films, I guess, are part of the expanding universe when they're spinoffs. But you know, and we may get more cartoons. I know I've heard that's another rumor, along with the live action Netflix series, that there's another cartoon coming. That's been rumors too, that they plan on Rebels running for about 4 or 5 seasons, and they're already planning another series after that. And who knows when that'll take place? You know, that might be by the time the new trilogy is done, and maybe we'll get a cartoon that takes place after Episode 9. Who knows? All speculation, folks.
All speculation.
Don't, you know. Just stay tuned to TrustMeIMAJedi.com for the real updates is what's going on. We just like to have some fun.
Get ahead of ourselves.
So who would be, like, really ticked off as Ezra turned to the dark side?
Kanan would.
Kanan would be a little upset.
What if Ezra is Kylo
Ren? I mean, out of us, who would be, like, kind of really ticked
off? That was just a crazy rumor on the internet that Ezra is Kylo Ren.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, though.
But the age thing doesn't work, though, because Adam Driver's too young.
Yeah.
So, oh well. But you can't talk about the expanding universe without talking about two major multimedia projects. One came out in the 90s, one came out in the 2000s. And that's Shadows of the Empire and the Force Unleashed, and that's next on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Swing!
Swing!
Tentpole! She's a babe.
She's magically babelicious.
She tested very high on the stroke ability scale.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Hey, headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeIMAJedi.com.
So we are on the road to The Force Awakens here on the Rebel Radio Podcast, and we're talking expanding universes. We just got finished talking about comics and books and stuff, and they came out. And two of the big things in the expanding universe that were major, major projects, and here in 2015, people may not remember back to 1996 how big of a project the Shadows of the Empire was. And it was a huge, huge deal when it came out. There was a video game. There was a book. There was comics. There were action figures. There were probably other merchandise, CD-ROMs. Who knows what had it. But this was a major, major multimedia project for Star Wars to kind of put this out there a few years before the prequels came out. And what Shadows of the Empire was, it took place in between episodes 5 and 6, right?
Right.
Yeah.
After Han is in Carbonite and they're trying to rescue him. So it's Luke and Leia going after to make a plan to rescue Han Solo from the Hutts, from Jabba the Hutt. And I remember when it came out, I was really excited for it. I was like, this is really cool. Because, you know, I had it, we were talking about the universe, and I had read some comics and a few novels, but it wasn't like, I didn't embrace it all, you know? And this was something you could get into. The video game came out for the Nintendo 64, which we talked extensively about on the last show.
Oh, yeah.
Which, where you played.
It was new graphics, too, at the time.
Yeah, new graphics. There was a new character named Dash Rendar, which was like a Han Solo slash kind of a mix of Han and Luke.
Yeah.
And you played him as you helped in his part on the mission to help Luke and them rescue Han.
And you fought IG-88.
You fought IG-88, Boba Fett.
On a train, which was really hard.
Yes, yeah. Very difficult. He fought this. He had this. Like Luke, Frank said earlier in the show, he had the second coolest ship next to Han, the Outlander. Which he, yes. And remember, one of the coolest parts of the game was where you could walk around the ship and all that. Remember, yeah. And that one level was really.
I have to admit, I bought it for the game X-Wing.
Oh yeah,
I had the ship along with the Millennium Falcon. They're pretty cool. A little expensive, but they're pretty cool.
and yeah, we're gonna if you're role playing game, which. We're going to talk about it a little bit too, and because this is all going to tie in with games. And so, Shadows of the Empire came out. There was a comic book series, and I remember reading the comic because I read the novel first. And Shadows of the Empire was an excellent novel. And then they came out with a comic, which I thought was an adaptation of the novel, but it was really different. And I remember the comic being kind of poorly written. It was okay, but it didn't tie in with the rest of the stuff. And then they did some action figures and things too. And Lucasfilm and Dark Horse and everyone that was involved that spent a lot of money on this to promote it. There were TV commercials for it. And it was a really big deal. And at the time, nothing had been done like that. Now, social media, multimedia projects are everyday thing in our life. But in 1996, it was something new to expand a universe. And only that Star Wars could pull off. And Shadows of the Empire to this day, I think is still a really excellent idea. The book still holds up well. We talked about the game last time. It's still really good. And they threw out the canon, though, but I kind of wish Shadows of the Empire still existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like we were just saying, wouldn't it be cool if Dash showed up somewhere still?
Just popped up randomly. Like, they just kind of threw back to it and just acknowledged, hey, you know, this happened, and,
but,
you know.
Well, they said they threw it out, but let's say, like, things somebody, some things, maybe they just, like, kept certain things.
Well, isn't the Black Sun, wasn't it mentioned on Rebels, the Black Sun organization?
Yes.
So isn't it still around? And that, still around. I never heard about that till Shadows of the Empire. Prince Zizor ran the organization, remember?
Maybe they're not telling us that they threw everything out except for Shadows.
Yeah.
Maybe they kept Shadows because of how much.
They exist.
So yeah. Whenever you got to hop on the speeder bikes and race them, remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that's part of the gang. I think it was initiation. It was either initiation where you're trying to infiltrate the gang or you're trying to run
from the Swoop gang. Yeah.
Yeah, the Swoop gang. And they were part of that Black Sun organization.
Yeah, I think a lot of people took to that storyline and everything for them just to throw that out. I think it would quite upset a few people. I mean, we'll get over it, of course, because we love Star Wars. But overall, I think that's just something they should hold on to, you know, because they can expand on that as part of their expanded universe.
Yeah, and Shadows of the Empire was a really cool project. And we talked about it in the last show. My favorite part of the game was the boat where you fought Boba Fett and you got to use a jetpack to fight against him.
Yes.
That was really fun. And, It was a very cool idea, and it was executed well. And then they tried it again in 2006, 10 years later. Was it 2006? Just might have the year wrong with The Force Unleashed.
Yes.
The Force Unleashed was a very similar project. It had a game, it had a book, it had a novel, it had a book and novel are the same thing.
Yeah.
Comic books, and it had action figures. And The Force Unleashed took place before Episode 4 and after Episode 3. Where Darth Vader was trying to use a clone to be his apprentice and to fight against a rebellion, but it backfires on him. He ends up joining the rebellion. And it was not quite as well received. The game stands out the most. Shadows of the Empire game stood out the most. People that wanted to read the books or comics could. Same with Force Unleashed. But the game stood out the most because it was the first huge Star Wars release for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. And the game was essentially a hack and slash brawler game.
But and what you got to use the force.
You got to use force powers. And it was, how cool was it to go through Star Destroyer buildings or Empire buildings and destroying stormtroopers and
most of the time, AT-ATs. Most of the time, you would just, if you watched me play, I would just pick stuff up and throw it at people and then throw my sword.
Or you could sit back and throw your lightsaber over.
I would
over
do both. Yes. Just chunk stuff at
and everyone's going to be cool to pick up a stormtrooper and force choke him and slam him down.
Oh, yeah. You know, or slam him and bounce him around.
And we're sitting, we're doing all these hand motions while we're recording. Y'all can't see it, but maybe one day we'll do a Periscope episode where you can see us moving our hands around or whatever. You know, and it was really good too. I thought the game was good and it played out. And like I said, nowadays we're in a period where social media is everywhere and multimedia projects. And maybe Force Unleashed wasn't as popular because it came out in an era whenever all that stuff's being done. Where Shadows of the Empire was more of an original idea back in 1996. And out of the two, Shadows is probably my more favorite. But other things I enjoy about Force Unleashed too. And any thoughts on Force Unleashed?
I didn't get to play it much, but I did like.
Oh, that's right, because somebody's wife will let them have a up-to-date console.
Well, it is available on PlayStation 2, which I originally played it on PlayStation 2 first because I didn't have an updated console yet, and then I bought the updated console and I
played
it on there.
Yeah, but he still doesn't have a PlayStation 2.
So,
he's not even. Yeah,
yeah, I had a 2.
You had, see, you had, but you don't have a 2 because your woman made you get rid of it.
Whatever.
She said, no console for you.
I was going to say I liked Maris Brood from that series. She was in the Force Unleashed series. And she had the Tonfa-style lightsaber.
She said the only buttons that were getting pushed around your place was yours.
The heck? She won't stop with my wife, you know, just taking me down with the game. She wouldn't buy me Battlefront and a PS4. What kind of insolence is that?
Don't feel bad. We don't have one either.
Okay. Yeah. We're in the same boat then.
Yeah. So, you know.
We're still waiting for that one fan to buy us a PS4.
Yeah.
You know, graciously.
And then if you think about this, Rebel Radio a PlayStation 4, we will stream it for y'all and we can put it on our YouTube channel so y'all can see more us playing games, which probably wouldn't be very exciting, but
yeah.
Maybe it would be.
Maybe.
And we'll promise Frank will keep his underwear on.
But I would wear my kilt.
I know he would say that.
So, we're talking Expanding Universe, and those were two big multimedia projects that we wanted to spend a lot of time on talking. And there are other things in Expanding Universe we haven't talked about yet, and that is gaming and role-playing and things like that. Cosplaying, in some ways, can be part of Expanding Universe, people living their dreams to be a Jedi.
I knew this one girl. She loved role-playing.
Star Wars Galaxies, which is something Matt and I played for years, which was part of the Expanding Universe, and at the time was considered canon.
It was.
Star Wars Galaxies was considered canon as you created your own journey after Episode 4 in the Star Wars Universe, and me and Matt spent a lot of time playing that game, and now Star Wars The Old Republic is out there. I don't think it's considered as canon as much because it's just an online game.
Yeah.
And those are ways. And then there is board gaming and tabletop gaming out there. Like, there is a Star Wars role-playing game that's out there. It's very popular in a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. And then there's Star Wars tabletop gaming, which are similar things but two different things. And this is where the Biscuits expertise comes in a little bit. I know you're real into the tabletop gaming right now. And how does it fit in your mind in the expanding universe of things? Because you're creating your own stories and journeys?
Well, it's kind of cool because I haven't really got to play. First thing, I was going to play this past Thursday, but I was so tired. And then I had to get home to take the wife to a movie that came out that premiered this week. You know, but I watched other guys play it, and they were pretty cool dudes. They were willing to play a game with me, but of course I ran out of time. So maybe sometime after Thanksgiving I'll get to play. But it's actually pretty cool. You know, you have your empire, you have your rebels, you have your scum, which are the bounty hunters.
Okay.
So you get your Boba Fett, you get your Lukes, you get your Darth Vaders.
And your Jango Fett.
You know,
what about
so
Jango Fett?
I have to look, see if that's available. But you can get the starter set, which comes with 2 TIE fighters and an X-Wing. And now they have the new Force Awakens box set, which you get the newer TIE fighters and the new X-Wing and the car, you know, and the characters from that you can play. And what's cool is whether it's the old or the new stuff, you can still play a game with all of them together. So you don't have to choose either or.
That's cool.
You know? So, and that's what's cool.
You say Star Wars Force Awakens, new TIE fighter. It makes me think, man, I'm going to miss seeing a Darth Vader TIE fighter out in space.
No.
I'm like, man.
They still look similar. They're sleeker.
Yeah, they're similar.
Well, they're black and gray, so.
Yeah, they're all black
or like
and gray.
A light gray.
And when it comes to expanding the universe, there's so many options to it. Like you say, you can tabletop game, you can role-play game, you can play video games, you can read books, you can read comics. And now as we move into a new era of Star Wars films, there will be even more. We'll probably get video games based on the new movies. We'll get, who knows, we'll get comics based on the early beginnings of Kylo Ren or Rey or Finn, whoever. Obviously, we'll know a lot more in a few weeks about these characters when the film hits. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars has become, in the almost 40 years since it came out, it's basically, I read something the other day that Star Wars is no longer part of the science fiction genre. It's become its own genre. And that's true. You have science fiction where things like Battlestar Galactica, Babylon 5, things like that fit into, and then you have Star Wars. And because it sets the precedence for everything, going back to 1977. And that's kind of true now. Star Wars is its own thing. And it's going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And is that kind of how you feel?
I think so. I mean, especially with Disney taking over it. You know, whenever that happened, this is what it was expected. You know, just expansion.
Yeah. I mean, it's even taken off from the other franchise out there, Star Trek, which, don't get me wrong, we love Star Trek too, but even it's not even close to Star Wars anymore.
Yeah.
It used to be that you could have your battle, Star Wars versus Star Trek, but now Star Trek is still, and I'm doing my hands again, even though people can't see it, is down here on a lower level, and Star Wars now, I think to the point in 2015, it's just above everything, and there's no turning back.
I'm going to be honest, I was excited when I found out that Disney actually bought it, because you knew that there was going to be stuff coming. You know they weren't just going to buy it and just keep re-releasing everything that's already been out there, you know, to make a few pennies off of what was, you know, already existed. You knew that they were going to say, this is ours, and we're going to blow it off the chart. I mean, you can just see what they're doing in merchandising alone in the last, what, since it's been announced pretty much. First trailer came out in which you got a glimpse of the characters, and now they're like all over everything.
Mm-hmm. You can't walk into a store right now, even a grocery store, without seeing something with Star Wars on it right now.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you walk in the floor department, there's an R2-D2 inflatable right there. So
yeah.
Well, this road to the Force Awakens continues, but before we go today, we're going to do our weekly Walking Dead episode update, and we've also got to talk about a new show that came on right after The Walking Dead here on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabzik from The Same, and you're listening to
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure! We've come too far! There's too much to lose! We've got to just keep our composure!
This is Walker Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
So we've been talking Star Wars Expanding Universe today on the Rebel Radio Podcast, and you can find us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And make sure you're following us on Facebook and Twitter so you get all the latest updates so you don't miss anything. And also, we don't I don't know what the word is for it, but
lubricate?
No. But go on iTunes, please, and leave us a quick review. Just something short. It would help us out a lot. This is something we really could use some help with. Is just take a moment of your time. The link is on the Rebel Radio page on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Just click it. Go to iTunes and leave us a quick review. That would really be helpful, and we hope some of y'all do that for us. And you're going to see us push that a little bit on Twitter and Facebook, so we're going to spam that some. And we appreciate y'all listening and everything y'all do. And so we're just going to ask for a little help, and we really like y'all if y'all could go on iTunes and leave us a review. And don't sound so enthusiastic, guys. Like, come on, leave us a review.
I was waiting for my turn. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Let us know what you think, you know, what you'd like to hear. You know, as always, if you have something you want to send us, send it. We're open. You know, is it TrustMeI'mAJedi2009@gmail.com?
Yep. And then the Twitter.
Nah, I don't care what these fools think.
The Twitter is
no, just kidding.
The Twitter is at TMIAJ. And so and the Facebook is facebook.com/trustmeimajediblog. So follow us on all those things so you don't miss a beat in the universe.
Oh, and now we're on Tinder. So follow us on Tinder.
On Tinder? What is Tinder? I don't even know what Tinder is. No, a dating site? Yes. No. I don't think your wife wants to know you need a date, Matt.
I wasn't me. It was the Stormtrooper.
I think Matt has an account on Tinder. Don't you, Matt? You have an account on Tinder, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm dressed as a Stormtrooper, so I always miss.
Well, before we go today, though, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead, as we usually do on the show. And the last episode, which Matt didn't watch, so
we're going to spoil the hell out of him.
And it's focused on Daryl. As he gets off from Abraham and Sasha from the woods, where he went through this really...
Actually, it focuses on all three of them.
Well, but mostly... you're right, but mostly it felt like a Daryl episode. And I guess that's because Daryl's more interesting than Abraham and Sasha.
Actually, no, but it felt like an Abraham-Daryl episode, because it focused a lot on Abraham.
Abraham
as well.
Straight up hits on Sasha. Like, hey,
well, why wouldn't he? Come on, she's hot.
I thought he was with the other...
I would take Rosarita over Sasha any day. I mean,
yeah,
she's
yeah,
just
but
like,
I mean, in this episode, he kind of like has a breakdown, and then it kind of like where it all kind of gets to a boiling point, and it gets to him, and then he finally like snaps at it.
Yeah, and then
he gets a cool rocket launcher.
Yeah, he does get a rocket launcher,
see it coming in handy in a future episode.
So Daryl comes into these burnt up woods where everything's burnt and bodies burnt, zombies burnt. It was really kind of bizarre, and he comes across this group of. A male and two females who talk to him kind of strangely, like,
party time.
We owe what is ours, you know, it's ours. And Daryl's not sure what's going on. They kind of capture Daryl, then he escapes. And then he ends up rescuing them in the end because these other people. So we get introduced to a whole new group of people. And if you've been keeping up with casting news and if you read the comics, this might be a little bit of a spoiler, but we know Jeffrey Dean Morgan was cast as the bad guy, Negan, who is likely going to appear towards the end of the season. There were a lot of talks about him appearing in the season finale at the end of season 6. But it looks like he's probably going to show up a little bit sooner. I don't think he's going to show up in the next 2 weeks because these episodes are already filmed. But they've already seen Jeffrey Dean Morgan on set and they haven't even started filming the finale yet. So it looks like Negan will probably show up a little bit sooner, probably sometime in the second half of the season. And so he's coming. So chances are these guys are somehow tied into Negan and his group. In the comics, they were called the Saviors. Will they use that in the book, in the show? We don't know. We know the comics are a guide for the show, but sometimes things are different. And so we'll see. Or maybe his group is going to be these Wolves guys that have been walking around with
that's
the W's. Maybe they're going to call his group the Wolves instead of the Saviors in the comic.
Because you never saw their faces.
Right.
So you didn't see whether or not it had any Wolf
W's on them or anything. Yeah. And so we know that this group is... that was trying to run from them, and Daryl helps protect them. And then they eventually, though, Daryl makes a mistake, and he turns his back on the guy because he had given the guy a gun to help out in case they had to protect themselves.
And he jacked his bike.
And they jack Daryl's bike, and they take off. And at the end of the episode, Daryl is able to get a truck running, and he meets back up with Sasha and Abraham, and he's going. And the walkie-talkie goes off, and we hear the word help. We don't know who it is. There's speculation on the internet that it's Glenn, who we still haven't seen 4 weeks later, whether Glenn's alive or not. But Daryl, or Norman Reedus, I should say, the actor, has said it's not Glenn. Is he just trying to fool us, or is he not? We don't know. And by the time y'all hear this episode, though, the new episode will have already aired, and we will know, but we'll talk about that next time. Or it could be that couple, because they took off with the other mic, or the other walkie-talkie, remember? Because they took...
Oh, they took his stuff?
Yeah, they took Daryl's bag, too. They left him
He has to save him again? Yeah. It's like, would they go with that, though?
But I mean, I don't know if it's that guy or not.
So, something happened to dude's face in the comic book?
In the comic books, the guy... They have confirmed the actor's name is Dwight. And in the comics, the right side of Dwight's face is all, like, burnt. Like, he's hurt. And it could be one of those things where they're just going with a regular face in the show, just like...
Or maybe he fell off the bike and landed on the muffler.
Well, just like in the comics, Rick only has one hand. He gets his hand cut off by the governor in that storyline. And Robert Kirkman has regretted that ever since. He says that's the worst thing I ever did was cutting off Rick's hand. It makes the book difficult to work, to write. And Scott Gimple, the showrunner, has already said that's not going to happen in the comics. Rick's going to keep his hands, you know, because it's just too hard to work with. And Kirkman has done a few things like that in the show, like... killed Shane in like the fourth issue of the comic, mm-hmm. and he always regretted it, and that's why Shane stayed around longer in the show.
And Glenn died early, didn't he?
Glenn dies in the comics, but not yet in where we're at in the storyline of the show. And that's why there's been a lot of speculation about Glenn this season. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to happen to him. But I have a feeling they're going to pull... In the comics, Tyrese is killed by the governor in front of everybody. Instead, they killed Herschel. I have a feeling they're going to do that with the Glenn storyline. I think they're not going to go that route with Glenn. I think that when Negan appears, he's going to kill someone else. And I think they're going to leave Glenn around for a little bit longer. It seems to be that's what they do in the show. They'll do things a little bit opposite, you know, than they do in the comics. And that's okay. I don't want to watch a show every week to already know what's going to happen. You know, I don't mind the comics being a guideline. I'd like to see it a little bit different than what we already saw.
A little bit of a different universe from the comics.
Right. And then right after The Walking Dead, a brand new show appeared on AMC, which does cross into the things we talk about a little bit. And I haven't covered it on TrustMeOnMyJedi.com because I don't know why. I just haven't put up the trailers. That's Into the Badlands. It seems like there's not enough martial arts out there nowadays on television and movies and stuff. And you notice Netflix. Have you been on Netflix lately? How many martial arts films they've been putting up there now? Old 70s films, Five Deadly Venoms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Really cool stuff. And it seems like martial arts are starting to make a comeback thanks to films like The Raid, the Ip Man movies,
yes,
and things like that. And this is a good thing. And, you know, Matt, I know you do Taekwondo. I know, Frank, you've had some history of doing it when you were younger. And so y'all are very into it, too. And it's very cool. And I liked Into the Badlands a lot. I thought the fight scenes were excellent, the choreography. I hope that the budget-wise they're able to maintain that because they did two major fight scenes in this episode. Will we get that every episode, or will we might only get one fight? You know, how will the budget say? Actually, I liked everything about the episode except for after the intro of the show when they came back from commercial break and they introduced the Baron and he's talking to the children and all that. What did they call him? I can't remember what they called him. His possible heir that are going to work for him. Oh, I should set up Into the Badlands. Into the Badlands takes place far into the future where the world has destroyed itself, probably from nuclear wars, and we don't know yet. They haven't said. And there are like seven barons that control everything. And they have these guys named Cutters or Clippers that work for them. And they're like these badass martial artists, swordsmen. There's no guns. So it's kind of...
Guns have been outlawed.
Yeah, the guns have been outlawed. So it's kind of futuristic, yet Victorian. In a way, the way they dress and stuff. It's like old days. So this Baron runs everything, and they bring these recruits and people they find out in the wasteland.
Basically lost children.
To work for him, to become clippers and to do things for him. Almost like a futuristic version of slavery in a way, even though they didn't call it that.
Well, they have slavery. These are just people that had the choice of being a slave.
Or working for him.
His fighters actually get like... upgraded above the slaves so they have a little bit more of a better life.
Right, better life.
But they have a life
family. And that was the only scene in the show I didn't like was I just felt there was so much momentum those first 10 minutes with the opening fight scene and everything. And you get to the Baron and it just slowed the show down all of a sudden, him talking to the kids. And I just wish maybe they would shorten his speech up a little bit, but it didn't make me hate the show. It only is going to be 6 episodes the first season. As AMC does a lot of times with their intro shows. They do short seasons to see how they go. And I think the concepts are fantastic. I think it's a really cool idea, and I'm definitely going to watch it to see where it goes. And the choreography alone and the fights made it worth it.
Oh, that fight scene where he's...
the fight in the rain.
The fight in the rain was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was movie-quality fight scene.
Yeah.
Something that you haven't seen, you don't see a lot on...
Actually, both fight scenes were actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're both really cool. And it's great that television is starting to realize, especially non-network television, the cable channels are starting to realize that you can spend a little bit more money for film-quality fights on screen because people will watch it and it brings people in. Mm-hmm. And you're starting to see a lot more of that on networks like AMC and FX and TNT and things like that. And the networks are slowly starting to catch up. You know, 24, for when it ran its years, had some great gunfights and gun battles on it. And Fox was never one, though, to be afraid to spend money on their shows. You know, The X-Files was always a high budget. And it's coming back in January, you know, for its 6-episode event. But Into the Badlands, very cool. So if you didn't watch it, try to catch it on AMC On Demand or whatever and check it out. And Matt, you need to get caught up in Walking Dead and Into the Badlands.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to knock out some Into the Badlands today, right before Walking Dead.
So, Any other thoughts before the next show?
Man, I just, you know, hopefully that was Glenn on the radio.
We'll see.
And he's alive. I'm pretty sure he is, but, you know, it's not over until it's over.
In our next Road to the Force Awakens show, as we continue our road, we're going to be talking about our favorite Star Wars characters. We do ranking shows now and then where we rank our favorite characters, and we're probably going to do a ranking style as we rank our favorite Star Wars characters of all time as we grow up, and that will cover everything, span the universe. There's fair game.
And if
we're not worried about Disney's canon, we'll use any canon we want when we rank our characters.
And anyone wants to share their favorite Star Wars character with us, like if anyone likes Jar Jar, we'd like to know where you are so we can maybe study you and figure out what kind of makes you tick.
Psychologically made you like Jar Jar?
And then whack you on the side of the head with a plastic lightsaber. Like, what are you thinking? Me, Jar Jar! Shut up.
Well, this has been another episode of the Rebel Radio Cup Podcast with
Matt the Electric Biscuit,
Frank T. Monkey,
your host Mark. Thank you for listening. Until next time,
wobble, 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 wobble.
Me said, think it's a good time to go now.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.